morning. And if you would, please turn to the book of James. James, let's see, what chapter am I in here? I'm in chapter 2. Chapter number 2 of the book of James. And in just a moment, we'll get into our lesson. Our lesson this morning is pretty short. It's not a very long lesson, but something very important. And we'll get into several things here in just a moment. But I'm going to have a word of prayer first. And I think that's always the best way to start anything is with prayer. We all need God. We need God to help us in our thoughts and in our study. And as we look here in the Word of God, here in the book of James. I love the book of James. I think it's a very practical book that has a lot of practical helps, teaching and doctrine that can help us in our everyday life. Now, you need to keep that in mind as we get into our lesson in a few moments, that James here is basically addressing things that are just your practical, everyday, earthly living that you live here on this earth. And keep that in mind as we get into our lesson as well. But let's do pray, and we'll see what we can come up with this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, first of all, we'd like to say thank you for this past week and all the blessings and the grace and the mercy that you have granted to us. We want to say thank you for that. We look forward, Lord, to this new week as we begin today. We pray that you would bless each and every one that is here today. We pray that you would bless them and their efforts this week as they start off this new week. And as we go into our routine and our schedule of the week, we just pray for your help and your blessing in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to live for you each and every day. It's not always easy. There's a lot of trials. There's a lot of obstacles. And sometimes, Lord, it's just maybe we just feel like we're the only ones. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength this week to serve you, to do a good job in our service to you. We pray that you would empower us. We pray that you would grant us the wisdom that we need each and every day this next week. Lord, we also pray that you would grant us mercy. And Lord, may we take your mercy and actually use that and grant maybe mercy to others this week. We pray that you help us to be a help this week to others that need help. And Lord, help us to be a good witness and a good testimony for you, especially to those that are lost that need to be saved. And we do pray for the lost this morning. I know that there are people here that maybe have a lost loved one, maybe a family member, maybe it's someone they work with, maybe it's a friend that needs Christ. We just pray for them that you would, Lord, I pray, work in their life. And Lord, help us to be a testimony to them. And Lord, may this week be the week of salvation for many. We do pray for those that are sick. We pray for those who have prayer requests this morning, who have different types of needs. We just pray that you would meet their need this morning. Lord, we pray for our services today. We pray for Brother Richardson again. And Lord, I ask once again that you would grant him the message. We pray that you would work through him, speak through him to us today. Lord, may we receive what we need in our life. Lord, we're a needy people, and we have different types of needs that are represented here today. We just pray that you would meet each and every need. And Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, it's easy to come. It's easy to actually listen and hear. But Lord, I pray that you help us to do much more than that. Help us to leave here today and put to practice what you give unto us. Lord, may you challenge us to do more for you today. And we pray that you would help there. We, Lord, also want to pray for our missionaries today. And Lord, what a joy and honor it is to be able to support missionaries. And we pray that you would take the missionaries that our church supports today, that you would bless them, their families, their works. We pray that you would just help them. And Lord, I pray that you'll give them fruit for their labors today as well. We just pray now that you bless our Sunday school time as we come together, as we open up your word once again. We pray that you would help us in our study to understand some very important parts. And Lord, today's lesson, of course, is always, as each and every lesson is, it's an important lesson. We pray that you would help us to grasp what you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the book of James, James chapter number 2, and we actually ended out on verse 13 last week. So our lesson this morning is primarily just verse 14 down through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 26. Before we begin this morning, may I say, let me make a few comments before we get into our lesson. I mentioned to you that I love the book of James, and I like it because it gives a lot of good practical teaching on how I need to live my life today for Christ.
And that means a lot to me because I live in this era. I live in this year, the year 2014. I live on planet Earth, and I need help from God, and I need help from God's Word to help me in my daily living. With that being said, as I was studying in my lesson, I have a teacher's book. I've never really struggled with much as far as some of the teaching that we're going to look at, but as I read my lesson, the person that wrote the lesson confused me. I didn't quite understand a few of the viewpoints that the man that wrote the lesson in my book was coming from. I don't know that I agreed with him in every aspect of his view, but that's okay. We won't. All of us can even discuss something. We're not going to agree on everything. I understand that. But I guess my problem was I felt like the person that wrote my Sunday school lesson this morning made something very complicated that I don't think is very complicated. Now, if I don't think it's very complicated, I promise you it's not complicated. I'm a simple-minded man, but sometimes Bible scholars, and I don't know if I like that term, can make some very understandable, practical teaching very complicated. You ever met somebody that tries to impress you with their words and the words they use? And, you know, all that means nothing. I want something practical. I want something that's going to apply to my life. I don't want something that's so high up here that it's no earthly good. I think we need to gain from God's Word something that's very practical, something that's going to help you and me and all of us in our daily living for God. And I feel like James is that kind of an author. I think he is a person that's easy to follow. I think if you were to take and study the book of James on an individual basis, if you were to take and read from it daily and slowly and paying attention to what you're reading, I think you can gain a lot of very practical things from that. Now, let me start off by saying, number one, we all know this morning that salvation is faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not by being a good person. It's not being you don't go to heaven by being a member of this church. You don't become a Christian because you're baptized. It's not by giving of money and offerings to a church that gains you access unto heaven. We all know, we all agree that salvation this morning is when a person puts their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, who calls out to God for salvation. Now, I know that salvation begins by a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when I say that, what I mean is, it's the Holy Spirit that works in the individual's life that makes them realize, number one, they need to be saved. Often we may call it conviction. That's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. When a person becomes convicted, realizing they're on their way to hell, they need to be saved, and then therefore they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It starts by a work of the Holy Spirit in drawing a person to that understanding that they need salvation and that salvation is only through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I say that because in my lesson, it seems like the author was kind of going in a different, not that the author was saying you have to be saved by works, but anyway, I'll get into the lesson here a moment and you'll understand what I'm saying here. James here, we must understand as we begin reading here, James is a person who is speaking in a earthly perspective, meaning the man that wrote my Sunday school lesson kind of tends to think that James was a legalistic type of an individual. I do not believe that. I believe James was the kind of person that just believed this: when you get saved, you ought to live for God. And James felt like that you ought to live your life in such a way that it was very obvious and very evident that you are a born-again believer. I believe that. I can go along with that. I think that we need to live our life in such a way that it's very obvious to people that we are a child of God. I've made statements before. If a person has to ask of you, are you a Christian, we're not probably a very good Christian if somebody has to ask if we are one. It ought to be obvious. Your family ought to know that you're a child of God. Those that you work with, they ought to know that you are a child of God. Those that live next door to you, they ought to know that you're a child of God. You know, people that you're friends with, they ought to just know who you are by the way you live your life. And I want to stress that because here's where James comes in. James feels like that your life should be lived in such a way that it's obvious to the world that you're saved, not by you saying you are, but by how you live your life. And I believe that. You know, words, you know, we can go all out. We can go out this week and tell everybody I'm a Christian. But, you know, words are very shallow. It's very, I've met people that claim to be born again, but, well, their lifestyle is very contrary to that. I'm not saying they're saved or they're lost. And this morning, I cannot say whether you are saved or whether you are lost this morning. Only you know that. But James was just someone that just felt like, man, your life, you need to make it count for God. Life is short here on this earth. You don't have a lot of time. You need to make sure every day counts for God. And you ought to live your life in such a way that it's obvious to the entire world that you are saved by Jesus Christ. Now you've got to understand, he's looking at it in a earthly perspective a little bit, and that's going to be key as we look at a few things here. And he's going to deal with faith. Well, let's go to verse number 14. Let's get started. Here's the verse that most people say is very controversial. My person that wrote my lesson in my book says it's a very controversial verse. In fact, Martin Luther, who started the Lutheran Church, disowned this verse and did not believe it was inspired of God. So with that being said, whatever, that really doesn't mean anything to me, but that was in my lesson as well. But look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Now, my brethren is talking about what kind of people? Brethren is to what kind of people? It's saved people, all right? So James here is acknowledging in the verse that he is writing to brethren or people that are like him, that being a child of God. So he says here, what doth it profit? All right? Now the word profit is another key word here. You see, James was someone looking at the Christian life in their daily living from day to day and how they live their life. And James just felt like, as a child of God, that every believer had the responsibility of living their life daily as they went to work, as they went to the supermarket, as they went through their daily life, whatever they were doing that day. They ought to live their life in a way that it brought profit to the cause of Christ. And I believe that this morning. You see, the Christian life is a whole lot more than what you do on Sunday. It's important how you live your life on Monday. And you ought to live your life on Monday in such a way that it brings profit to your life and to the cause of Christ. And when I say your life, I'm talking about as a believer and how there ought to be profit in that day. God wants to see profit in your life. And when I say profit, I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritually in your life. God wants to invest in your life, and God wants your life to blossom in such a way and to grow and to mature in such a way that your life is a profit to the cause of Christ. Now, you've got to bear in mind something here. The opposite of profit is, what would the opposite of profit be? It would be loss. And James says here, we should not live our life to where we finish the day, and the way we lived our life was a negative to the cause of Christ or a loss to the cause of Christ, but it ought to be a profit to Him. It is possible to live your life and at the end of the day be a negative or a loss for the cause of Christ. For instance, if we go out and live our life tomorrow, just like lost people do, it's probably going to give a bad testimony to you to the point where your life has no effect on others that you surround. The average lost person can look at someone, maybe as a child of God, been born again, but does not live for God. A lost person looks at that and thinks, why would I want what they have? Why would I want to get saved? We can live our life in such a way where we have no influence, we have no power, we have no influence on a lost person, we have no way of reaching that lost person. And when you live your life in that way, it becomes a negative or a loss for the cause of Christ. Now, James is wanting the direct opposite of loss. He wants your life to be profit for God. All right. So he says in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, many people, I'm assuming according to my lesson, attribute this verse to saying that in order to get saved by faith, you've got to have works, that you get saved by works. You need to understand something here. James is not saying that you are to do good works to be saved. James is saying here, you do good works because you are saved. You're a brethren. You're already saved. Salvation is not even the issue of the verse. He already acknowledged that. He says, brethren, he's already calling them saved. He's just saying that because you are saved, James was having a hard time. James had a hard time understanding how somebody could put their faith and trust in God for your eternal salvation so you don't die and go to hell, so you do go to heaven. He just had a hard time understanding how could you have that and not live for God from day to day. And may I say this morning, sometimes I have a hard time questioning with that as well. How can somebody live so ungodly and so worldly, even though they claim to be a child of God? Now, I'm not saying they are or they're not. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't decide who's saved and lost this morning. The only person I can speak for this morning is myself. But James was saying, man, there's a lot of people, you're wasting your life. You're living by the grace of God, and you're living by the gift of God from day to day, but you're not a prophet. You're not in a positive light. You're living life, and your faith is not evident to others as they watch you. So he asked the question here at the end. A lot of people misunderstand this. Can faith save him? Now, may I stop and say here this morning, that a person is saved by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I believe James believes and feels the same way here. But let's move on. He goes to verse 15. He says, and he uses an illustration. He's going to ask a question here, right? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, right? So he's saying, okay, let's just pretend that there is a brother or sister, man or woman, doesn't matter, and clothing-wise, they either don't have much or they don't have any at all, or maybe they don't have sufficient clothing. Maybe it's cold, and I'm just kind of adding to a little bit here. Maybe it's cold, and maybe they're outside in a short-sleeved T-shirt. It's very obvious they don't have adequate clothing, and they don't have adequate food. They don't have enough to eat, and they're in tough times. I mean, this brother or this sister. And I'm going to throw this in here. Let's say it's a brother and sister in Christ here. They're struggling to even have food on the table. They're struggling to have enough food to eat from day to day. They don't have proper clothing, and they're in a very, very, very bad situation. So James goes on in the next verse, verse number 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. All right? And what James is saying is, you just tell them, I've got the answer for you. You just go home and be filled and feel like you got clothes and just feel like you got plenty of food. So what James is saying is that you got a brother and sister in Christ. They need food. They need clothing. They're struggling. They're having a very difficult time. They're in a bad situation. And all you give them is words. Now, I promise you, if there comes somebody in our church this morning and their stomach is empty because they haven't had anything to eat for about 2 or 3 days, and I tell them to go home, be blessed of God, it don't help them a whole lot. Just words. You see, what this brother and sister needs here is somebody to go to work, to put James is saying, you got to get past just words and put some action behind your words. The proper thing to do is you go buy them some food. The right thing to do is to help a brother and sister here is you go out and you give them some adequate clothing. But just to say go home and go home, pray about it, God will figure it all out, and God will all work it out, and just go out and pretend like it's warm even though it's cold, or just go out and pretend like it's you got food when you really don't. James is saying it's foolish just to give them words. And I agree with that. You see, what James is saying is, your Christian life
is a lot more than the words that come out of your mouth. It's action. James says, I don't want to hear your words. I want to see your lifestyle. Oh, you're going to get off on that lifestyle evangelism. Well, you're going to crucify me here. I'm not saying that a person gets saved by their works, but I just believe this. When a person gets saved, they ought to live for God. You know what the problem with America is today? We got too many undercover Christians. Boy, they go to church on Sunday, but boy, you can't find them throughout the week. And boy, they don't live for God through the week. They only live for God on Sundays. And it's hard to even find those that even live for God on Sundays. And James is saying here, he said, okay, let me ask you this, all right? We're talking about faith. We're talking about works. We're talking about your life that you live for God. He said, okay, let's suppose there's a brother or a sister that comes in and they don't have clothing, they don't have food, and all you give them in response to try to help them is just give them some words and you send them out on their own. So he goes on in verse number 16. He says, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? So what James is saying is, hey, they only needed two things. They needed food and clothing, and you didn't give them either one. The only thing you gave them was a lot of empty words. Do you really believe that brother and sister that leaves, that is naked and cold and whatever their problem may be there, and then they go out and leave, they don't have anything to eat, they're weak, they're hungry, and you don't even help take care of any of the basic necessities that you know they need. All you want to give them is words. James says, I have a problem with you. Because James believed you do a lot more than what comes out of your mouth as far as words. The Christian life ought to be a life of action. Put something to work. And by the way, it's going to require a little bit of sacrifice on your part too, by the way. If you're going to put food in their stomach, guess what? You've got to go out and buy it. You're either going to go buy them some groceries or you're going to send them to a restaurant or we're going to go buy them a meal or whatever the case may be. But somebody's got to cough up some money. Clothing. Clothing's expensive as well. It's going to require sacrifice on your part there as well. And James is just saying here that, boy, I have a hard time with people that sit back and, boy, they claim to be a person of faith and their faith is non-existent. I mean, you can't even see faith in their life. You can't see any action in their life. They're just all words and no action. And may I say this morning, probably one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is that we're all words and no action. Let's be honest. Well, I work a lot. I've got news for you, dear friend. You've got 24 hours in your day just like any other man or woman in this room. Well, my schedule. Well, then you need to change your schedule. Let so-and-so do it. They don't do anything. I work for a living. You know, come on, get real with me. I promise you, everybody in this room, we're all busy. I mean, life is busy. There's always something to do. There's a place to go. There's a place you got to be at a certain time. I mean, you've got your routine. You've got your schedule of the week. You go to work here. You get off here. Or maybe you've got this that you do this on this day during the week. I mean, we're all busy, but James is saying here, there is no excuse for a believer who will not put their Christian life, their faith in God, to work in their life to make a difference in somebody else's life. And when you do that, when you do put action to words, and when you do back up your Christian sayings, and I'm a Christian and I'm a believer, whatever it is you claim of yourself, but yet you put action to it, James says, you know what there is? There's some profit to that. But it's only profit when you put action or works together with your life for God. And by the way, the Christian life is work. Now, we don't believe in works as far as you getting saved, but we do believe once you get saved, you need to go to work. And by the way, work's not a bad name. Most people think that's a cuss word. I promise you, it's not a cuss word. The Christian life is work. This church right here is work.
I mean, everything about it, I mean, it requires some work.
Well, let's move on here. He goes on and says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. And you must understand in verse 17 that James is saying, as a believer, my brethren, remember that verse 14, he's already talking to believers here, and he's just saying as a believer, he says in verse number 17, if you're that kind of person that doesn't help that brother or sister, and you're not willing to go get something to eat for them, and you're not willing to put clothes on their back, all you want to do is just give them some good fancy words and send them on their way. And James is saying, if that's you, you have a faith that is dead. Now, we need to exhibit in our life a faith in Christ that's alive, that's healthy, that is willing to help and do whatever needs to be done. And James says here, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. What does that mean? It means this. It means as a believer, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I have faith in God this morning. But faith alone, you know what faith needs? It needs action to it. And by the way, faith is an action word. It means you practice what you preach. You practice what you know. You practice what you are taught. You go out into the world to make a difference in the world by your faith in God. And because of the faith that I do have in God, it's going to move my Christian life to action. It took action on your part to come this morning. You had to get up. You had to get dressed. You had to drive. You had to come here. It cost you something to come to church this morning. It costs gasoline in your automobile. It costs time in your life. And even coming to church is an act of faith that you have in God. And I think it's very, very important. I think, you know what? I think your next door neighbor needs to know, it's 9:30 in the morning. I hear their car starting. They're going to church. They ought to know you go to church on Sunday. People ought to know, you know, they don't need him calling him at this time of day. He's not going to answer his phone. He's in church. People ought to see that. They ought to see your faithfulness in going and being a part. And that, I don't know how I got off on that, but let's move on. Let's go to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Well, I like that statement. James is saying here that, you know, and I don't think, you know, well, James is just cocky. I mean, he just says that, man, all you got to do is look at his life. Pretty obvious he serves God. I mean, I don't think James is cocky in any kind of way here. I think James is just saying here that life, every day of life, is very valuable. And we ought to show the world our faith. How do you show the world your faith? You do it by your works. For instance, I could have Brother Dwayne come up here and give a testimony a little bit about his faith and so forth, and he can speak through this microphone about his faith that he has in God. All right? But you know what? Words don't mean anything. You know what? He could say a lot of things that are not true. I could get up here and give a testimony about the faith that I put in God this past week in a certain situation in my life, and I can give you a big story, and it'll all sound good. But you know what? All it is just words going through this microphone, going down through the wires, and coming out of the speakers, and that's all it is. Words. And James says, you know what? Words don't make a difference. It's your action. It's your action that you live in your daily life for your Heavenly Father on a daily basis. Then we talk about living for God. My soul, we could stand here for 10 weeks straight talking about how we can live for God in our daily living. You know, I had a man tell me one time, what this world needs more than anything else is for Christians just to be real. Because most Christians are not real. It's a facade on Sundays because they live like the devil all week long. And that's probably a lot of truth to that. This world needs to see something real in your life. Now, don't get off on this
scenario, well, you know, the outside doesn't matter, it's only what's in the heart. And as I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, I promise you, dear friend, I cannot see your heart. All I can see is what you're doing on the outside. And your outside, whether you like it or not, the way we live our life, our actions on a daily basis, dear friend, is what the world sees. They're not interested in your fancy words. They're not interested in some vocabulary that you can give unto them. What the world wants to know, what are you going to do action-wise to help me in my need? And James was saying, no, I got a hard time. I got a difficult time with people who claim to be saved, and all they want to do is speak, and all they want to do is talk, but they don't want to do any work. They don't want to do any action. They don't want to put clothing on somebody's back. They don't want to put food in this person's belly. And he was just using that as an example here. I don't know. Maybe there was a problem with that. Maybe there were people that were coming into the church, and maybe there were people that were coming to those that were believers that were hungry, maybe needed clothing. Maybe that was a problem at that day. I don't know. But James was just saying here, what the only thing that's really going to count is not what you say, but how you live is what's going to make a difference. And how you live your life from day to day determines whether you were profit or whether you were lost for God. I'll be honest with you, there have been a lot of days I lived my life, and at the end of the day, it was a negative. But praise be God, there's been a lot of days there's been profit at the end of the day. Let's go on here a little bit. Where did I end out? Verse 18? Yeah. Look at verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Interesting statement there. You'll find here that, and I believe there's a lot of truth here too, salvation is not because a person believes in God. You know, a person can believe there's a God and still be lost. Just because I say I believe in God, I believe there's a God, I believe God's in control, I believe God's in control of the universe, doesn't mean that I'm saved. You know what that is? It's just words. Just to say that I believe in God doesn't make me a child of God. That's just words making a statement, he says here, that I believe there's a God. And I believe Jesus Christ is God. But you know what? I can make that statement all day long, but it doesn't make me saved. You know what James says here? Even the devil knows that God's real. He believes there's a God. If there's anybody that believes there's a God, it is the devil. By the way, the devil knows he's real. Devil's battling every day. He's battling in your life against God every day. So he says here, let's see here, verse number 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, and there is. There's only one God. We know that to be true this morning. But we've also got to realize the devils also believe, and they tremble. They also know the power of God. He goes on in verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. So he's discussing a little bit of what you claim is faith in your life. What is faith? Well, faith is a belief in God. It's a trust in God. All right, fair enough. You say you have faith. That means to most people that you're basically saying that you believe in God and that you trust God and in your daily living. And I think we stretch that a lot, dear friend. I think we put a lot more trust in our paycheck than we do God. We put a lot of faith in a lot of things, and I don't know that we can really claim that it's God. Well, I just believe God will supply. Okay, go quit your job for about 3 weeks with no paycheck. You really want to prove that you have great faith in God? I mean, and what James is saying here, he goes back again and he's talking about your faith and how that when you say, I am a man of faith, I am a lady, a woman of faith, I believe in God, I believe God's going to supply, I trust in Him, and I just believe He's going to take care of me. I have faith in God. James says, fair enough. But let me look at your life and see, do you really have faith in God? Because your words don't really mean a whole lot. Let me just check out your lifestyle to find out, do you have a faith and belief and trust in God?
Do you understand where we're coming from here? Do you understand what James is saying here? That it's one thing to say that you're a person of faith, but if you are truly a person of faith, your lifestyle is going to back up what you say you are. Oh, yeah, I love God, went to church. Okay, let me see how you live on Monday. Well, let me see how you're doing by Friday. All right, let's throw a little kink in it here a little bit. Let's throw a little problem in there. Let's throw a tragedy in the mix on this week. Or let's throw in some sickness this week. Or let's throw in, this problem in your life. And let's find out how you respond after that. Let's be honest this morning. There's a lot of people that have had great claims of faith in God, but when something really bad goes wrong in life, they jump off the bandwagon. Let me tell you why they do that. They never were a person of faith. They were just all words, no action. I mean, James is getting down to the nitty-gritty here. James is getting down, man, you claim to be a person of faith. You got great faith in God. Back it up with your lifestyle. I like that. I think that's good. As I mentioned to you, the person who wrote my lesson in my book this morning, he even wrote in there that James tends to be a little legalistic. I don't think he's being legalistic. I think he's being very practical that if you say you're a believer and you say you have great faith in God, your works, your faith, your life that you live ought to back up what you say you are. So let's go to work with you. You know, when all the other guys are cussing and everything, how do you respond? So you got two choices. Either number one, you can try to blend in with them, and most Christians go that path. You know, or you can just, you know, I'm not putting up with that. I can't make somebody talk a certain way, but I can let them know I don't like that. And I don't live that way. We went to, been back several weeks ago, and my kids kind of, if somebody starts cussing around me, they kind of cringe and say, "Oh, Daddy, please don't say anything." We went to Long John Silver's the other week to eat. My wife and only, we were the only two in the whole restaurant. It was kind of odd time in the afternoon and so forth. We got our food, we sat down, and the cook did not know that there was customers in the building. And he started cussing and carrying on. And I got up and I went up there and told him, "If you're going to speak like that, if you're going to talk like that in front of me and my wife, we don't talk like that. We don't believe anything like that. And we'll take up our stuff and we'll leave." One of the other ones kind of laughed a little bit. And I said, "And it's not funny." Manager comes out. "What's the problem?" "I'll tell you what the problem is. I don't pay to come in here and sit and listen to filthy language." Person apologizes, gives us a free meal and so forth. I said, "I'm not here for a free meal. I want to pay for my meal, and I want to eat my meal in an environment where I don't have to hear filth like that. That person right there doesn't deserve to work here." Now, my daughter Emily, she was lucky she wasn't with me that day. Now, when you go to work, you can't really do that because you can't tell somebody how they can talk and how they can't talk. Because when you go to work, you're not buying something. You're there on their clock. You're on their time. I understand that. But I am saying this. We don't have to act like they do. And we don't have to blend in with them. We don't have to be like them. And that's what James is saying here. I mean, you claim to be a great person of faith, and you can't even speak up at work? I mean, person comes in that needs food, and you can't even put food in them? People come in, and all they need is maybe some clothing, and you won't even help them with clothing. All you want to do is talk. And James, I think, is really addressing a big-time problem here. A lot of people have a lot of talk, and James isn't interested in your talk. James is interested in your life. Are you going to stand up for God this week? Are you going to live for God this week? Are you going to be a witness for Him this week? Are you going to be a good testimony for Him this week? Are you going to love people and help people and be active in action in your life? Or are you just a person of words? There's a lot of words, dear friend, but words don't put food in somebody's stomach. Words don't put clothing on somebody's back. And James moves on here. Where am I at? Y'all remember where I'm at? All right, we're at verse number 21 now.
Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac of his son upon the altar? So he's going to use an illustration here about Abraham and how that Abraham was a man of faith. And Abraham had to have a whole lot of faith, did he not, when he went out to offer Isaac his son? You'll find here that it's making reference to Hebrews chapter 11. I wrote down some verses, but I don't have time to go there. So let me ask you, was it when Abraham took, you know, when God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, his son, and Abraham takes Isaac and he goes out to offer him and he almost offers him as a sacrifice. You remember how God stops the whole thing? We all know that. But was it that action that saved Abraham? No, not at all. That action, though, proves to you he truly was a great man of faith. You'll find that it goes on, and we're running out of time here. Look at verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And may I throw in a little bit here as well. Faith, how do I word this? Faith doesn't mean anything if there's not some action behind it. I mean, what profit is it just to go around claiming all the time, I'm a great person of faith, I have faith and trust in God, I believe God's going to work it all out. And you know, it's okay to say all that, but James is just saying, you know, but it's got to be a whole lot more to that. And basically what James is saying is, you know what, he said, I just believe that when you claim to be all that about faith, I mean, we're going to be able to look at your life and see some areas in your life that's going to back up what you claim to be. It's going to be works. And Baptists hate to hear the name works. Man, we ought to be the most working people that ever was. Not because I'm trying to get to heaven, but because I am going to heaven. I mean, I would be willing to live my life every single day and sacrifice and give and action and work and work and work. And it ought to just be evident that I'm trying to do everything I possibly can within my own power to do what is profitable for God today, whatever that may be from day to day. And every day is going to be different than the other day. I understand that. But boy, we ought to be able to look at our lives and say, there's some action, there's some works that back up my faith. Not that faith has to have works. Please don't misunderstand me. And James is saying faith doesn't have to have works. He's not saying that works is you have to work to have faith. James is saying you have faith, and after you have faith, guess what? It's going to be backed up by some works. He goes on. verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And please don't misunderstand where James is coming from here. He's talking about looking at a man and a woman's life that has lived from day to day on planet Earth in a practical manner. And James is just saying here that as a believer, you are a person of faith. He gives that to you. He doesn't disagree with you at all on that. He's just basically saying, but boy, if you show me somebody that claims to be a believer, has great faith in God, and has no action, James says, I've got a problem with that. James says, I have a problem with a person that can't back up their saying or their words of who they are, and they can't back it up by some actions in their life. James just felt like there ought to be some evidence in your life that you are a child of God. I had a preacher one time preach a message a little bit about this, a great message, and he was basically just talking about him personally, about how that you mean to tell me somebody as big as God moves in your life and something doesn't change? Something bad wrong. I'm glad this morning that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I'm nowhere near perfect. I still sin. I still make mistakes. But you know what, dear friend? I can honestly say this morning that God has made a difference in my life. You know what God did? God changed some things. And I'm glad He changed some things. The average church this morning would never speak of God moving in and changing your life.
Everybody wants to go to church this morning and invite God in their life a little bit, but boy, they don't want to change anything. They still want to go out and live the same old dead life to this world. And James says, I've got a problem with that. And I do too, Brother Earl. And I fail miserably in my life. But I promise you this morning, I believe you could testify too, but at least I'm striving and trying to live a life where I don't have to tell somebody I'm a believer. I want them to be able to just know by being around me by the way I live my life. I want them to know right off the bat, you know, this guy don't talk like most people. And it's a lot more than that. I mean, we can go into a lot of details. He goes on. He talks about Rahab in verse number 25. He's talking about her, Rahab the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. He's talking about her and how that it you can look at her life. Someone who claimed to have faith in God and trusted God, but yet she was able to back it up. You can look at some of the actions in her life that would give reason to believe that she was a child of God. Verse number 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we've got to understand this morning that we are a people of faith. And, I know this it's maybe wrong a little bit sometimes when you think of it this way. I hate to almost say that because you turn on any religious broadcast and you got, oh, we're a people of faith. You know, okay, you claim to be that. Let's look into your life, find out what you're doing from day to day. What's going to back up that claim? So the question this morning, for us this morning, we claim to be a child of God, we claim to be a person of faith, but do our daily actions back up what we say we are? Because it's one thing just to give words and just say who we are. James says the words that come out of your mouth means absolutely nothing to him. The only thing that matters to him is the actions that you live from day to day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us this week to live for you. Lord, it's not an easy life sometimes to live. Sometimes we are the only ones. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we're afraid. But God, I pray that you would give us strength, boldness. I pray that you would work through us this week. And Lord, may our life move to action, not to be saved, but because we are saved. And Lord, may our faith move us to action. And may we put some footsteps to what we claim we are. And may we make a difference in this world we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.